Hello everyone, Roy Williams, the guru of good health, the superintendent of supplementation, here to bring you another today's health update. I am so thankful for all the people that have chosen to listen to this radio show. The good Lord's blessing us indeed. Lots and lots of people are calling to let us know how much they appreciate the listening to this radio show and the information that we're putting out there. And remember, this program is made available by NHC Herb Shop in Killen and Herbs and More in Athens. And of course, nutritional health care. All you have to do is go by one of those stores, or you can call us at 800-745-4408. The number again is 800-745-4408. And tell them you want the free CD on MSM Plus C, or the free CD on Heart, or the free CD on HGH, human growth hormone, and living to your genetic potential without disease. These CDs are free, and when we say free, we mean that. Because of the sponsors of this show, they actually send those out to you at no charge. We even pay the postage. But, of course, today is Monday, on Mondays we do Monday school. Our society today feels like it's full of injustice. If you think about the Bible and the Old Testament and the New Testament, their biggest cry out to God most of the time was justice. They wanted justice. And it seems like you can't get justice in society today. If there's a problem with capitalism, and believe me, I'm a big believer in capitalism, as long as you've got good people, moral people, people with good convictions to help other people running things, things will get done the way they should, and capitalism will work. However, if you get a bunch of corrupt people in office that's writing the laws for the land, then you get injustice. And that's exactly what was happening in today's letter, lesson. It's the scripture selection comes from Esther chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. And I want you to remember something as we go through this today. Injustice will be punished. It may not seem that way sometimes. It seems like sometimes the drug dealers and the rapists and the murderers and all that are getting away with it. But believe me, they aren't. They aren't. Remember, God says that justice is his. He'll pay them back. Believe me, they're here to be punished. There's no doubt about it. But Esther chapter 7, verses 1 through 10 simply says, "So the king and Haman went in to feast with Queen Esther. On the second day, as they were drinking wine, the king again said to Esther, 'What is your petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted you. And what is your request?' 'Even to the half of my kingdom it shall be fulfilled.' Then Queen Esther answered, 'If I have won your favor, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given me, that is my petition, and the lives of my people, that is my request. For we have been sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. If we had been sold merely as slaves, men and women, I would have held my peace. But no enemy can compensate for this damage to the king.' Then King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther, 'Who is he, and where is he, who has presumed to do this?' Esther said, 'A foe and enemy, this wicked Haman.' Then Haman was terrified before the king and the queen." Then verse 7 says, "The king rose from the feast in wrath and went into the palace garden, but Haman stayed to beg his life from Queen Esther, for he saw that the king had determined to destroy him. When the king returned from the palace garden to the banquet hall, Haman had thrown himself on the couch where Esther was reclining. And the king said, 'Will he even assault the queen in my presence, in my own house?' As the words left the mouth of the king, they covered Haman's face. Then Harbona, one of the eunuchs in attendance on the king, said, 'Look, the very gallows that Haman has prepared for Mordecai, whose word saved the king, stands at Haman's house 50 cubits high.' And the king said, 'Hang him on that.' So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the anger of the king abated." Kind of a, if you just take that from what I read there, starting with chapter 7, it would be kind of hard to understand what the whole picture is and what's going on. So I'm going to try to explain that to you today so you can see how you would get justice out of injustice in this lesson today. Our basic goal is to understand the eventual justice that comes in the story of Esther, number one. And number two is to understand the that treachery does not win ultimately. It may look like it's winning in the long run, or in the short run, I mean, but in the long run, ultimately, treachery never wins. And the third thing in today's lesson is to commit to living justly, knowing that eventually good wins over evil. As Christians, we've got to believe that good will always win over evil. Yes, the book of Esther, a quite short read, but it assures us of how God works for justice even through the difficulties of life. And there's a lot of difficulties in life. All of you that's over 30 or 40 years of age, man, you know what I'm talking about. And many of you even younger than that know what I'm talking about. Well, you see, we all face difficult times in our lives. And in the midst of them, we may say look at things as though injustice is going to win. But believe me, it's not. Difficult times are also learning experiences and learning opportunities. And that's what it was for Esther and Mordecai and the people in the story. In the midst of difficult times, though, we might not see how God's working in the situation. But when we look back on it years later, it becomes very clear that God was involved in the picture all the time, especially if you're a praying Christian, if you're putting all your petitions before God, if you're taking all your desires, your goals, and even your things like your marriage, if you're putting them in God's eyes and in God's hands. I'm telling you, in the long run, you can rest assured that God, His will be done, and it's always good for His people. You see, the book of Esther begins with King Ahasuerus throwing a huge celebration for, you know, of his own majesty and wealth, a celebration capped off by a week-long party. Now, this wasn't unusual back in these days. They would take over a city, they'd take over an area, they'd take over something, and they'd throw a big celebration showing off how successful they are and how great of a king they are. And remember, as we go through this, King Ahasuerus is not a believer. He's not a believer. And I want you to understand as we go through this today, sometimes God can use unbelievers to accomplish His goal. I mean, you saw that happen with Pharaoh. You're going to see it again in this lesson. So at this party that King Ahasuerus is throwing, the wine is plentiful. Everyone is in a drunken stupor, and he sent for his wife, Vashti, to show off her beauty in front of his guest. But what does she do? She refused. This enraged Ahasuerus, and it worried his legal advisors. If the queen disobeyed the king, then perhaps all wives might begin disobeying their husbands. Needless to say, back in that day and time, that didn't set very well, because husbands ruled with an iron fist back then. It was just that simple. But Queen Vashti was deposed as a result of it. In other words, he got rid of her. And this troubled time became an opportunity for Esther. Now, you get the whole picture here. Esther is a Jewish person. The Jewish people live there among these people. And as a result, they are more or less slaves. And you're going to see the picture where Haman comes in here, who hates the Jews, and some really bad things are about to happen if God don't intervene. But the king started the process of searching for a new queen. That opened the door for Esther. He looked for the most beautiful women and gathered them around from all the provinces. Esther, also called Hadassah, a beautiful young woman, was among them. Her surrogate father, Mordecai, told her not to reveal her Jewish heritage. Haggai, in charge of the potential brides, could tell Esther was a prime candidate, so he assigned 7 maids to her and gave her the best place in the harem to dwell. her 12 months of beauty treatments went on. Now, imagine that, ladies. You know, you're chosen to possibly be the queen. And you, what do? The first thing they do is they take 12 months and send you for treatments, beauty treatments they're called. And Esther was chosen by Ahasuerus to be the new queen after she went through this. But remember, meanwhile, the background, trouble's brewing. There's a plot to kill the king, and Mordecai learned of it. Now, remember, Mordecai is her surrogate father, Esther's surrogate father. He learned that there was a plan to kill King Ahasuerus. So he, what does he do? He reports it to Esther. He lets her know. Now, she's the queen. She told the king, giving credit to Mordecai, and the plot was foiled. You see, Haman had plotted to have Mordecai killed, and he wanted all the Jews killed in that province. He wanted them out of there. Some people might say that it was very lucky that, Esther was queen. I would say that it's providential. I'd say that God put her in that position and gave Mordecai and her the wisdom to be put in that situation so that the, you know, God was knew what plot Haman had. So let's get the whole picture. Even worse, trouble was brewing, especially for Mordecai. His Jewish ancestors were sworn enemies of the Agites. Now, Haman, he is an Agite, was elevated to the highest position below King Ahasuerus. I mean, he's in high position. The king looks up to him to some degree. Mordecai refuses, though, to bow down to Haman because that would have been recognizing him as a god. Haman was so incensed that he not only wanted Mordecai killed, but he wanted all the Jews in the kingdom killed. Get this picture in your mind. Haman went to King Ahasuerus and reported that there were people dispersed throughout the kingdom who had different customs and refused to obey the laws of the land. He's talking about the Jewish people because, see, King Ahasuerus and Haman, these people, they looked at themselves as gods. They really thought they were better than anybody else, and everybody should bow down to them. So what does he do? He asked the king to make a decree. Haman asked the king to make a decree for these people to be killed. He even sweetened the pot and said that he would put a huge sum of his own money into the treasury to pay for this task. The king agreed, but told Haman to keep his money. Then King Ahasuerus gave Haman a signet ring so he could write and seal the decree himself. So without knowing any better, King Ahasuerus, trusting Haman, actually gives him a signet ring so he can actually make a decree and seal it with that ring, and it has to be carried out. So to help you get a clear picture here, let me draw it out. Haman and Mordecai were bitter enemies. Mordecai refused to bow down and worship Haman. This infuriated Haman, so following the advice of his wife and friends, Haman decides to build a huge gallows from which to hang Mordecai. Now, why would he want to build a real high gallows? Basically, because he wanted everyone to see what happened to those who disobeyed him. He also wanted to put fear in all the other Jews in the area. So remember, the Jews are God's chosen people. Haman hates them. He wants them to bow down to him. He wants them to do what? Turn their back on the only true and living God. So here's Haman, though. He's feeling very good about himself because Queen Esther had invited him and the king to eat with her privately. See, he thinks, basically, that he must be very important to the king and the queen for them to invite him to this. He grew even more full of himself when the king asked him for suggestions about how to really honor someone. I think the king was talking about how he would honor his wife. He thinks he's talking about honoring him. So Haman, thinking the king wanted to honor him, said that the person should be clothed and paraded around town like royalty. So here he is thinking that it's all pointed toward him, Haman, and you got to remember, pride goeth before the fall. Be careful out there if you get prideful and think you're special. The phrase "so angry he could spit nails" probably fit Haman when the king instructed him to honor Mordecai in the very manner Hannah had suggested for himself. Remember now, Mordecai was the one that warned Esther to tell Ahasuerus, King Ahasuerus, that there was a plot out to kill him. I don't think he understands at this point that it's Haman, but he's figuring it out. And he finds out that the reason they wanted him to join them in the banquet was so he could lift Mordecai up on a high platter, on a high standing. The king did, because he saved his life. So, you know, while Haman was still angry about having to honor Mordecai instead of hanging him from that gallows he built, Haman was escorted to the meal with Queen Esther. The king offered her whatever she wanted, up to half of his kingdom. Remember, we read that. Esther pleaded for her people, the Jewish people, explaining that someone had marked them for annihilation. King Ahasuerus demanded to know who was planning to do this, and Esther points to Haman. Of course, the king was furious with him and went into the garden to try to calm himself down. Esther was reclining on the couch, and Haman throws himself on the couch, begging her to have mercy on him. When Ahasuerus returned, it looked as if Haman was attacking the queen, which made him even angrier. And then what happens? A servant points to the new gallows close by, the gallows that Haman had built to hang Mordecai on. The king ordered Haman to be hanged there instead of Mordecai. With Haman gone, the slaughter of the Jews was averted. Their enemies were eventually defeated. It took quite a while, and there was a lot of maneuvering by a lot of people, mainly by God, but eventually justice prevailed for God's people. So here's Haman building this 50 cubic high hangman's noose. He's wanting to hang Mordecai on it. And when he goes to the banquet and Esther points out that he's the one that was plotting to kill the king, what does the king do? He says, well, that's a fine place. We'll hang him from his own gallows. And that's exactly what they did to Haman. So there's something you want to get out of this. There's a one of the phrases that you may remember in the Bible, or not in the Bible, but one of the phrases you may remember in history, is that there's an oath you can make. On my honor, I will try to seek divine justice and not revenge. That's a good thing to memorize. On my honor, I'll try to seek divine justice and not revenge. What does divine justice mean? That means when somebody's treating you bad, when it seems like the whole world's against you, when it seems like that the crooks and the thieves and the murderers and all those other people, the drug dealers, are getting rich and they're living the high life and everything, just remember, if you put God in the mix, their justice will be served. It will be served. Don't ever think it won't. As Christians, we need to think before we act. We need to learn how to distinguish between divine justice and revenge. Let's turn back to the story of Esther to glean some guidance on this. Remember, Haman built the gallows in order to make an example of Mordecai to the other Jews and anyone else who might not follow all his decrees, which wanted to make Haman look like a god. If Mordecai had heard about Haman's plan to kill him on the gallows, and then he decided himself to kill Haman or have Haman killed, that would have been revenge or vengeance. That's not the way God does things. That's man's way. You know, I'd have been mad. If I'd have found out he wanted to hang me, I'd have been mad. I'd have been plotting a way to probably have him killed too. Ain't that human nature? But what does Mordecai do? He's praying to the only true and living God, and God is leading, guiding, and directing the choices he makes. So what is how Mordecai had Esther reveal to the king that their people had been marked for destruction by this evil person called Haman. Then Esther exposed Haman as the man who planned to kill all her people. Then God, through an unbelieving king, remember, King Ahasuerus is not a believer. He's not a Christian. Of course, there were no Christians back then because that's after Christ. But he was not a believer in the only true and living God. He's unbelieving. But in spite of that, God worked to save those people and give the Jews the right to defend themselves. God supplied the Jews with victories that soon ended any attempts at their destruction. Now that's divine justice. because God was the one who turned the tables. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Always put it back in his hands. I'm telling you, be aware of the injustice that's around us each and every day. We should all be aware of that. We do not need to ignore or turn a blind eye to such things. We need to pray about the things that do not seem right or fair to us, seeking to discern if God finds them unjust. We need to be available for God to use if God decides to act through us. We need to be ready and willing, and we need to be in tune with how God is working in and around our lives. But God only works through us and in us when we what? When we include him in all of our plans. You know, if somebody does you wrong, if somebody's hurt your feelings, if somebody has abused you, and you can't get any justice, you've gone before the courts, you've tried to go before your friends, you've tried to do it the way the law says, put God in your prayers. Mix him in. Pray that God's will be done in this situation, this manner. And I'm going to tell you something. You will get justice. You know, Haman had decided to destroy the entire nation of Israel. That's what he wanted to do. But remember, they're God's chosen people. And now here's Esther and Mordecai, who are believers, and they put God first in their lives, and they depend on God to solve their problems. Now, it don't mean you don't do your part. Remember, Mordecai had to do his part. Esther had to do her part. You know, so many people sometimes today think they can just pray to God and God will do everything for them. That's not how it works. We put God in the mix of our plans. God wants us to plan our lives. He wants us to lead our lives in a way that other people want to become Christian. But it ain't always going to be easy. And let me tell you something. Sometimes people are going to try to stop you. They're going to try to embarrass you or hurt your feelings or take away your wealth or your power or whatever you've worked for your whole life. But you got to keep God in the mix so you'll get justice and not vengeance. Remember that. We are reminded in Romans 12, 17 through 19, where it says, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.'" Now those are powerful words you can depend on. Romans 12, 17 through 19. Read that over and over again. Become a student of what God would have happen in your life. Put God first. That's why we do Monday school every Monday on this radio show. I'm dedicated first to God and above all else to God and what God wants in my life. And I felt led that I should put God first even on my radio shows. And since Monday's the first one of the week for me, I do that. And I'm not saying you should have to do that or that you, I'm just telling you what I do. But you know what? Listen to this. Those of us who are set apart for the kingdom of God often need reminding that we're part of the world, but we're not of the world. That we are first and foremost citizens of God's kingdom. How does he want us to live? Well, he gave us Christ as an example. We can be set off course by the insanity of this world, of course. It pulls our dedication and direction to and fro. However, as a citizen of the kingdom standing up for God's justice and the great commandments given by Jesus, we've got our priorities. We can see ahead of things. We can put God first. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's Matthew 22, 37 through 39. Another one of those verses of Scripture you need to put at heart. And listen, let us not hold on to anger and bitterness and rage that Haman burned with. He was so angry. You got to realize it took 2 years from the start of Haman's desire to have all the Jews killed. It took 2 years before God put Esther in a situation, in a position where she could influence the king and for Haman to be taken out of the picture. That's what you got to do, is let God's will be done. Let us allow God to work through us and in us to change our sadness to joy, and our hearts and our minds to gladness. Think about that. You know, it's going to tie right in with next week's lesson, The Lord Loves Justice. We're going to talk about that next week on my next Monday's radio show. Let the Lord's love, justice reign in our world today. And next week we'll talk about why we need to do that, because there's one thing you can be sure of: the Lord loves justice. So I hope you've learned that we should not try to get vengeance. We should not try to get back at people who've done us wrong. We should pray for our enemies, no doubt about it. Lift them up to God and ask God to change them. God has the ability and the desire to change all people. And through prayer and meditation on the right things will always come out in the end. God never does wrong. He always does right. So think about those things. Read these scriptures. Be mindful of the verses that I told you to kind of memorize and put in your heart and live your life by them. Watch how good life can be. And remember, this program is always brought to you by NH Herb Shop in Killen, Herbs and More in Athens. And of course, it's brought to you by Nutritional Healthcare. That company has been so blessed by God. We're truly helping change people's lives and health for the better. If you put God first and you take your supplements and do what is healthy for the human body, chances are you can live to be really old and get to see your grandkids and even great-grandkids grow up and have children of their own. Wouldn't that be awesome? Until next time, may God bless all of us with abundant health.